Hey everybody, a great, wonderful, warm welcome to you today. Bob DiGiacomo, Destiny Road, Intentional Growth Coaching. And today I'm bringing to you part one of a podcast that I'm doing on Acres of Diamonds. And this also corresponds, now I don't know if the book is going to show properly, whether the title's backwards, but Think and Grow Rich. These are some definite courses that I do offer, but most importantly, I just want to bring you information over the next two podcasts, and then, of course, you can make a decision on your own. Needless to say, though, I would certainly recommend that you play these two parts over and over and over. Each time you play it, more of it will sink in. And what does that have to do with Acres of Diamonds? Well, a lot of times we think we need to go look somewhere else for what it is that we're looking for when actually things are right there in front of us. But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon, even though I've just given you the moral to the story. But just over a century ago, and we're going to be talking a little bit about a guy by the name of Russell Conwell, C-O-N-W-E-L-L, should you wish to Google Russell Conwell. Now, he was famous for the lectures that he gave, and he especially encouraged people to listen to the story about Acres of Diamonds. And he was born in 1843, and actually during the American Civil War, the U.S. Civil War, he served as a captain in the Union Army. He studied law and eventually became a Baptist minister and a very popular public speaker. And yes, you guessed it, Acres of Diamonds was his most famous talk, which he delivered well over 6,000 times. In fact, one could say he was probably one of the original motivational speakers that we're so famously listening to these days. Now, he was also referred to as a penniless millionaire. And his famous message will and should challenge you to seek opportunities about true wealth right in your own backyard, because it's those same principles that help transform him into one of the most charitable millionaires during his time. And as I mentioned in my opening, he was a Baptist minister, first president of Temple University, and again, he also served as a captain during the American Civil War. And when the 10-year reunion of the war came about and he met with his former troops, he delivered this Acres of Diamonds speech, and he was asked to deliver this speech over and over so many times. The proceeds from the ticket sales paid for his travel and his accommodations, but the money that was left over, and there was quite a bit of it, would go on to pay for the education of nearly 2,000 students. So at the heart of this Acres of Diamonds speech was a parable that he heard while he was traveling through present-day Iraq back in 1870. That would be the 19th century, okay? And the story goes something like this. There was once a wealthy man named Ali Hafid who lived not far from the River Indus, the Indus River. And he was contented because he was wealthy, and wealthy because he was contented. One day, a priest visited Ali Hafid and told him about diamonds. And Ali Hafid had heard all about diamonds and how much they were worth. And then he went to bed that night a poor man. Now, he hadn't lost anything, but he was poor because he became discontented, and discontented because he feared he was poor. So Ali Hafid sold his farm, left his family, and traveled to Palestine and then to Europe searching for these diamonds. And he didn't find them. His health and his wealth failed him, and he was dejected, and eventually he cast himself into the sea. One day, the man who had purchased Ali Hafid's farm found a curious sparkling stone in a stream that cut through his land. Yes, it was a diamond. And digging produced more diamonds, acres of diamonds, in fact. And this, according to the parable, was the discovery of the famed diamonds of Golconda. Now, you may have heard this story in, you know, being cast in several different countries, but this is the original Acres of Diamonds story. And he reinforces, Conwell, reinforces his point of the story by telling another story of a mineralogist who sold his home to hunt for wealthy mines. His home, of course, was soon found to be atop a huge fortune in silver. So the moral is that attaining wealth is only a matter of exploring what is close at hand. So I ask you, are you one of those people who look for diamonds in faraway places? Faraway places. Strange sounding, lads. Is the grass greener there? Is there an opportunity in front of you all this time that you are not seeing? Have you taken stock of your life lately? And perhaps there are diamonds just sitting outside your back door. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and get a shovel and start digging up your backyard. But there are acres of diamonds sitting in your backyard. In fact, each of us is right in the middle of our own acres of diamonds. If we would only realize and develop the ground we're standing on, rather than going off and searching for those greener pastures. You know, opportunity does not just come along. It's there all the time. We have to see it. Coincidences don't happen coincidentally. And in life, if we go searching for something, we should know what something, quote unquote, looks like, smells like, tastes like, so that we can recognize it when we find it. Before we give up what we already have, make sure that what we're getting into is already better than what we already have. And I've got a few steps here I'm going to go into. As I said, this is part one of a two-part podcast. So firstly, I'm sure you've all heard, especially if you consider yourself to be religious, that money is the root of all evil. Well, I dare say that I'm going to challenge you, if you feel that way, to go and read the Bible, and you will find out that it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says money, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, the love for the money itself. I wonder if some of you out there are going to squeeze that dollar bill until the eagle starts to squeal. But wait a minute, we're in a modern day, and if I don't know how many of you actually carry cash around with you anymore, but you do want to know what the balance is in your bank account, don't you? And how about being successful in business? How many of you are in business that you're listening to me today? I dare say that you probably got into business to make a profit. Well, let me tell you that it is criminal to not make a profit on what you sell. Criminal. You got into business to make a profit. You need to make a profit so that you can continue to stay in business. Now, mind you, whatever profit margin you put on, that's up to you. But you've got people working for you, working under you, working with you. They do deserve to be paid for the time and effort that they put in to help your business to continue to be successful. So it is a criminal thing not to make a profit on what you're selling. And of course, you're selling things that are legal. We understand that. But how about, to be successful in business, you need to get to know your customers. Yes, you need to get to know your customers. If you don't know who your customers are, what they want, what they're looking for, what they need, how will you expect to stay in business? And I guarantee you that if you don't care for your customers, you won't be in business too long, especially with this pandemic thing that so many of us have been through, gone through, going through. I can only tell you the number of times I've been to some stores, and I can refer to this in Bermuda mostly, where I've gotten what I went in to get, and I've gone to the cashier, and the cashier simply says three words. Is that all? And it frustrated me many times because I lost it a few times. It wasn't the fault of the cashier. The cashier had not been properly trained. They did not get to know their customers. Is that all? Sometimes I've commented back, what? I haven't spent enough money in your store today? But then I realized it wasn't their store. To be successful in business, you need to get to know your customers, and you need to ensure that your people are trained to care for and take care of those customers. And the last thing I'm going to go into today in today's podcast, part two is coming right behind this one, so be sure to look out for it. This will be produced as a YouTube podcast as well as a audio podcast, and so you can take me along with you wherever you go and hear this over and over. But to inherit a great amount of money is a curse, and I give that the analogy of being born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It's actually a handicap. Sometimes we should actually pity the children of the wealthy because they will never know the best things in life. And one of the best things in our life is when a young man, young woman has earned their own living. Okay? Now, there are families out there where even though they would have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth, their parents ensured that they learned what was necessary to be learned, so that they did not act like they had a silver spoon in their mouths. They actually went out and worked for it and for the family business. So let me know what you think. You can always reach out to me at intentionalgrowth@icloud.com. And I also have another email should you want to use that one, destinyroad, all one word, @icloud.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, speaking with you soon. Again, remember, this is part one of a two-part podcast, and you do want to tune in for part two so that you can fully understand the basis of what Acres of Diamonds is all about. The real title is, Are You Looking for Diamonds Elsewhere? When they're right there in front of you. So until next time, I'll see you in part two. Bob DiGiacomo, Intentional Growth Coaching and Destiny Road. Remember, you're only one step away from the journey of a lifetime. Make it a great, wonderful, and intentional rest of your day. See you soon.